Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
There are dangerously high radiation levels in water leaking from reactor number 3 at Japan's Fukushima power plant. At our deadline, operators still struggling to gain control of the reactor fear the core might be breached. Prime Minister Kan calls the situation grave and unpredictable, and officials are urging those within 19 miles of the nuclear power plant to leave voluntarily and avoid eating many kinds of green vegetables. To say the least, the nuclear disaster in Japan has refocused attention on the future of the atom as a source of energy. But the threat of global climate change has led even some diehard environmentalists to reconsider and embrace nuclear power. But not Amory Lovins. He's chairman and chief scientist of Rocky Mountain Institute in Snowmass, Colorado. Amory Lovins, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you.
So is it possible that we can meet our carbon reduction targets without nuclear power?
Of course, not only that, but we could do so more effectively and more cheaply. It is quite true that if a nuclear plant displaces a coal plant, that would reduce carbon emissions. But if you spent the same money on efficiency, renewables, and combined heat and power, you would reduce the carbon emissions by about 2 to 10 times more and 20 to 40 times faster. So nuclear is such a slow and costly climate solution, it actually reduces and retards climate protection compared with a best buys first approach.
But when you say it's slow, isn't it people like you that are holding up the process with lawsuits and holding up the process of licensing nuclear power plants?
Not in the least. I know the industry likes to blame environmental groups, of which, by the way, we are not one, for holding up licensing. But they've been writing the rules for several decades. New nuclear plants in this country are offered subsidies that now rival or exceed their total construction cost. And yet, even though that's been true since 2005, 3 years before the financial crash, they've been unable to raise a penny of private capital simply because the cost and risk are unfinanceable. Wall Street will not invest in them. It's an utterly unfinanceable technology, and it's obvious why. It's grossly uncompetitive.
But can renewables, can wind, for example, produce enough energy, enough density to replace a nuclear power plant, which is huge and usually powerful? And plus, you know, the wind doesn't blow on calm days.
Yeah, well, that's two separate points. The first one, I'm afraid the industry got it backwards. Actually, if you properly do the math and count the whole nuclear fuel cycle, not just the power plant, not just the core of the reactor, but the exclusion zone, the uranium mining, and so on, it turns out that wind power uses hundreds or thousands of times less land per kilowatt hour than nuclear does. Even solar photovoltaics are about equal to or slightly better than nuclear in that respect. As for the wind not blowing and the sun not shining all the time, that's true. And every kind of power plant can fail. They differ, however, in how much fails at once, for how long, how often, and for what reasons, and how predictably. You can predict pretty well when wind or solar will not work. But you cannot predict when a nuclear plant will fail. They break without warning about 3 to 5% of the time. Big coal nuclear plants are down about 10 or 12% of the time. And for that reason, we've designed grids for over a century to cope with that kind of intermittence that every power plant suffers from. So you don't depend on any single plant. You depend on the whole grid. So it turns out if you diversify renewables by type, so they're not all affected by weather the same way, you diversify them by location so they don't all see the same weather at the same time, and you integrate them with the resources on the grid, both power plants and ways to save or shift electric use, then you can have a largely or wholly renewable electric supply system at very reasonable cost with greater reliability and resilience than we have right now.
I find it a little bit ironic. I see these pictures from Japan, and I think, you know, if they had put a wind turbine on top of the nuclear complex there, the plant might have had power and would still be running.
Actually, the wind machines in the vicinity were not affected by the earthquake and tsunami, and the utilities have been calling for them to crank out every bit of juice they can to help keep the grid up. Look, here's a quick summary of what's going on with nuclear in the world. At the end of 2010, there were 66 nuclear units officially listed as under construction worldwide. You look a little closer, you find a dozen of them have been listed as under construction for over 20 years. 45 of them have no official startup date. Half of them are late. All 66 of them are in centrally planned power systems. Not a single one of them is a free market purchase. And since 2007, nuclear growth has added less electricity to our supply each year than even the costliest renewable solar power. And it'll probably never catch up.
But they're having rolling blackouts in Japan right now because they don't have the nuclear power plant online.
Of course, if you lose a lot of capacity, you can be short, and they were already a bit short. But I would actually view that as a drawback of nuclear power in two respects. First, to make it cheap, they try to put a bunch of plants in one place, which was always a bad idea, because if something goes seriously wrong with one plant, you can't even get in to fix the others and keep them from developing serious problems. Second, nuclear plants are shut down abruptly when there's a loss of grid connection, like in the tsunami. And the trouble with that is it is then very hard to restart the plant. So in 2003, we had a big blackout in the northeastern U.S. 9 plants were running perfectly until the blackout, and then they went to zero. And it took 2 weeks to get them all back up. So they're like an anti-peaker. They're guaranteed unavailable when you most need them. Renewables don't have that problem.
Amory Lovins is the chairman and chief scientist of Rocky Mountain Institute in Snowmass, Colorado. Well, Mr. Lovins, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Just ahead, an old nuclear power plant gets a new lease on life. Maybe. Keep listening to Living on Earth.